Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Sex with Emily. Today it's all about sex drive. How do you have more sex? What happens when your libido takes a dive? We're going to tell you how to spice it up in the bedroom. But first, a word from our sponsor, Permescent, who's exactly about that. So Permescent is all about helping men last longer in bed so we can all have more pleasure because, you know, 1 in 3 men, they suffer from premature ejaculation. And even if you're not a minute man and you just want to last twice as long as you already do in bed, guess what? Permescent helps. It's a quickly absorbing delay spray, allows you to have the sex life you want. You can focus on your partner's hot body because now you have time to make him orgasm and you're not thinking about baseball. Because who wants to do that? Promescent is the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation, so check it out at Promescent. That's P-R-O-M-E-S-E-N-T, or go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Promescent banner. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out our podcasts, our blogs, our sex in the news, and all of our funny, great, informative stuff happening. And please do sign up for our mailing list if you have not done that yet, because I will not spam you. I will not sell your name or anything like that, but I will send you useful information that will change your life. So, Today's show, we're going to be talking about sex drive. You know, I always hear from you guys, it's like probably one of the most common things I get asked is, you know, my partner wants more sex than I do. I hear from men and women. They want more sex. He wants more sex. She wants more sex. He wants more kink. She wants, you know, and everyone's just trying to figure out, why aren't they having the most amazing sex like they had at the beginning of their relationship? Believe me, I hear this every single day. I hear it when I'm walking down the street. I hear it from my hairdresser. I hear it from Anderson. No, just kidding. Anderson, you wouldn't talk to me about your sex life yet. Hi, Anderson.
Hi, Em.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
It's great to see you.
It's good to see you.
I know.
Every week we start off with
a love
affair.
I know, but it's so true.
But yeah, it's totally honest.
It's like a real love affair.
It really is.
I know.
It's a microphone love affair, guys. Everyone settle down. I'm a married man.
No, you are a married man. It's cute. And I saw a picture. Where did I see a picture from your wedding? Oh, it was on someone's Instagram. I think it was maybe Dr. Drew's or something.
He was there.
And it was a cute picture of you guys kissing.
The last time Dr. Drew did a shot, and the first time in about 10 years that Drew did a shot, was at my wedding.
Really?
Yeah. Got married up in the Madonna Inn. Love that place.
Where is it? I don't even know.
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, nice.
It's a beautiful hotel.
Okay.
Every single room is completely different. Very romantic.
I didn't know that. And it was a few years ago. So anyway, Anderson, good to see you. How was your holiday weekend?
It was great. I'm very excited about today's show, though.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you, because I want to hear these emails. I always think it's weird when I hear ads for, like, increase your libido. Do you want to increase your libido? I don't get that at all. In fact, my libido, and I think that's the case with a lot of guys that I know, like, it interferes with my life. Like, what? I wish I had less of one.
Oh, because you're still, you've never.
And if it went away, I'd be like, cool. I wouldn't be like, oh, God, I wish I was horny all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So you've never had a point in your life where you're like, nah, I don't really want sex that much.
Not as of yet.
That's good.
Should I be knocking on wood?
Yeah, you should be, because, you know, it's really common. I mean, I hear, but you haven't been married. Let's talk next year.
How long have you been married?
3 years?
A year and a half. I think that I would be a very
successful.
Well, I've been with her for like 11 years now.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I think I'd be a very, very successful person if I didn't have a sex drive.
Why? Because you wouldn't be thinking about sex all the time?
Like, I've just wasted so much energy and time on sex, making sex happen, having sex, thinking about sex. If that was filled with something productive, I know that sex is literally productive.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. So you're still preoccupied now, but have you ever been, we don't have to talk about your wife, but in your life, in a long-term relationship where you were ready to go at it and she wasn't wanting it as much as you did.
Oh, now, if that's what you're talking about, getting the ladies going.
I'm talking about mismatched libidos in relationships. I'm talking about where she wants it all the time and he's exhausted after work or vice versa. Because I hear this from, I mean, people all the time. Or after childbirth, once you have kids, the whole sex
equation changes.
There's
a lot of psychology behind it, too.
There is psychology behind it.
There's like a seesaw. Because I've been with, like, girls that I really, really liked, and when they started wanting sex a little bit too much, it was almost a turnoff.
Really?
Yeah.
They just were.
And they made it feel like a chore.
But, okay, so like, even you who wanted it all the time, it's the fact that they were after you so much for it. It was almost like.
I had this one girl, like, she'd come home late from work and I was tired, and then she'd always be like, let's do it. We're going to have to do it. And I was like, as soon as I feel like I have to do something, I don't want to.
Okay. I am so glad you said that, because this is what happened to me this morning. So I have my very best friend in the whole world.
This will be good.
This is good. It's from San Francisco. We've talked almost every day for like 25 years. And not as much now that I'm in LA, but the point is we talk every week for sure. And she called me this morning and she said to me, first thing she said to me was, she goes, I figured out why I'm going to call him Bob. She goes, her husband of 12 years. She goes, Emily, I figured out why Bob annoys me. And I said, why? She said, because he's my husband. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She goes, he just, like, annoys me. Like, I love him. Like they have a great marriage. Like, to be honest, one of the strongest marriages anyone I know. And sometimes I talk to her and she's like, I'm so into Bob. And then sometimes she's like, he annoys me. She goes, but it's because he's my husband. So you know what I told him the other day? I told him that from now on, I don't want him to introduce me as his wife. I want him to introduce me as his lover. And she said, and now he's calling me lover around the house. And she said, because the problem is I feel like wife. I just hate that term wife, that like I'm his property. She goes, you know what? I didn't take his last name. And there's a reason for it. And she said, it's just he comes home from work and, you know, they have two kids. And she said, I'm making dinner or I'm doing something. And he just wants sex. And he grabs me and he demands it. And she says to him, you know what? Kiss my neck. And then maybe go upstairs and come back. It's like, this is what I've been talking, like warm them up. So same thing. This girl comes home like, Anderson, wake up. I want sex now. No one wants to be pushed into sex. And I think the problem is men and women approach it wrong. They approach sex in a way that turns their partner off. And there's ways to get more sex if you kind of know how to warm up your partner and what gets them in the mood. So what she said to him was, You know, don't come in and grab my crotch. Like, kiss my neck, warm me up, make out with me for a while. I mean, it's what women want. We're
it's
not
shocking that
we're
she has to tell
cookers.
Him that after 12 years.
I know.
It's shocking.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not that she hasn't, believe me, it wasn't the first time.
She's a little hippy-dippy, a little hippie, a little commune-esque. Because
I mean,
the whole lover term, very
you don't like the term
70s.
Lover?
I don't
no,
like
maybe.
It.
But she's like, I'd rather be your lover than your wife. Just because that takes away the whole, here's my ball and chain. You know?
Yeah, the word wife, it does have a kind of a negative connotation.
Yeah. And I don't even like the term boyfriend. Like, when I date guys, they're like, oh, so now you're my, when they say girlfriend.
Well, that's because that's a commitment thing with you, Emily. That's a whole different story.
We don't have time for that now. But no, I never liked it, though. Okay, so I've never wanted to commit. I don't like, she's my boyfriend. I'm your girlfriend. We are together. You own me. I own you. I don't like labels, man. Don't box me in.
Kind of related. If you're ever looking for a way to break up, but you don't know how to, like, say the words, sex with you is like a chore. Usually works.
Ooh.
I've said that a couple times, and that's the end of the relationship.
Oh, my God. So yeah. This woman who came home banging you to bang.
We actually talked about it one night. I'm like, you know what? It just feels like a chore with you, and that was the end of the relationship. Got
well,
to move on.
See, that's a good point. That's interesting because, again, a lot of these emails, they're all kind of a variation of couples struggling with wanting sex at different times, wanting different things in the bedroom. So we will get into that. And I think you might be able to help contribute to some of this, too. Not, you know, I mean, I'm glad you guys are doing well. But you've been together a long time. And your wife's awesome. So that's good. Okay. Also, I want to say, if you haven't done this yet, you need to get out your phone right now. And if you like me, you should follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, which is All Sex with Emily. And also, are you doing that now, Anderson? You don't follow me?
I'm following exactly what you said. I got out my phone and I'm following.
And then also, I do a Twitter chat on every Wednesday, 12:30 to 1 Pacific Standard. I answer your tweets.
That's
really quickly.
PM, yes.
PM. What is that? PM?
No, you just said 12:30 to 1, but you do love lines.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you're a
late
night person.
No, it's PM. It's PM on Wednesdays. And then another thing is, I am the host of this huge thing called the Sexual Health Expo, and we just announced it this week. It's happening, oh God, I don't have the press release here, in January?
Do they have a logo?
Yeah.
What is it like?
She, and it's my picture?
No. For the sexual health, oh, really? You're the logo?
I'm the logo, my face.
Oh, because you know how like every like Olympics has like a cartoony logo? I was hoping they'd have some kind of like really healthy-looking sexual thing.
It's me. I'm the logo. But it's really cool. It's the first. Let me try to find. Can you guys, someone pull up the dates and the press release? But anyway, it's in San Francisco. It's in Los Angeles. And it's the first of its kind. It's for consumers to come. There's going to be workshops with like leading sex experts. And I think it's in January. And it's going to be all about helping men and women have better sex. And they come in and there's going to be, again, workshops. There's going to be sex toys. And it's going to be just the one of a kind event in Hollywood. And it's going to be super fun.
January 17th and 18th in West Hollywood. And we will get you the actual venue before the show.
January 17th. I think it's the Sofitel, actually. I read that. So it's January 17th and 18th. It's called the Sexual Health Expo. And so if you don't live in LA, this is a great time. I'm giving you plenty of time. January 17th, 18th, 2015. Come to this expo because it's going to be friggin' rockin'. And I'm the host. And I'm giving the keynote.
It's right across the street from the world famous Beverly Center.
Oh, good shopping. Totally. So that's what I have to tell you all about that. And then I have a little bit of sex in the news for us. Okay. Court grants man. This ties into our topic. Court grants a man divorce over wife's demand for excessive sex. So this is Guy. He sought separation from his wife, alleging that she was aggressive and autocratic with an insatiable appetite for sex, and was granted divorce by a family court in Mumbai. The man in his petition said she was showing an excessive desire for sex and harassed him since their marriage in 2012. He alleged that she used force. She forced him into having unnatural sex, and whenever he tried to resist it, she would abuse him. Following which, he had to succumb to her pressure and persistent demands. She said he administered him medicines and also forced him to consume liquor. The woman even went to the extent of threatening that if her demands were not fulfilled, she will go to another man without caring for her emotions and feelings. He was also hospitalized at one point for a stomach ache and was advised to avoid having sexual relations. But guess what? She kept demanding it from him. He had appendicitis, all this stuff, discharged. She forced him to have sex. This was in 2013, another operation. And the wife threatened him. And it sounds pretty horrible. I mean, the wife didn't appear at the hearing, and the judge granted him his separation and said, run, man, run. He's out of it.
However. You said Mumbai, right?
Yeah.
So God knows. Maybe she wants it like once a week.
You think?
Well, I also picked up on the unnatural sex. What, was she begging for anal? What was that?
Yeah, I think so. She was begging for, I don't know. It doesn't say, it says unnatural sex. So maybe it was anal. But who knows what's unnatural. It
could be doggy. Yeah.
It could be doggy. She might have wanted sex with the family dog. We really don't
know.
That's
not what I meant.
Oh, what you mean? Oh, doggy style?
Yes. Emily, you just jump straight to the pet.
Jesus Christ, this is the world I live in. I'm thinking bestiality. My brain needs to be rewired. Okay, so going back to sex drive and libido and all this stuff, I've got a pop quiz for you. Anderson, you ready?
Or
for anyone listening, ready? Most men reach their sexual peak at 18, and most women experience theirs in their 30s. True or false?
True. Don't tell me it's false, because that's what I've always heard.
Exactly. Okay. This is why it's your pop quiz. It is false. It's true. Younger people have sex more frequently, but research has shown that this sexual peak is not a fact. And I actually, before I started working in sex, I thought this was true too, but it's actually not true.
So what's the cougar's excuse then?
So exactly. Well, the cougar's excuse is that women, as they get older, they get to know their body better. They know how to have orgasms.
They're
more comfortable with their body. Women in their 20s are just learning, you know, except for the ones that work for me, that, you know, learn really quickly.
You're calling your girls whores?
No, I'm calling them women who are sexually empowered and know their bodies. But no, a lot of women in their, I just adore them, so I'm just like, they're freaking awesome. And I think that women in their 20s oftentimes are not as confident. They're brought up to, and I hope this is changing a lot, you know, people listening to my show and just becoming more sexually aware. But they're just, I mean, I remember I didn't know, I mean, guys are doing the jackhammer. You were doing the jackhammer in your 20s.
What are you saying?
You were pounding away at a woman.
Some girls like it.
They, you know what? They faked it. They thought they liked it because they thought that's how sex was going to feel because they didn't know what an orgasm is.
They like the power of the jackhammer.
Yeah, they like the power of it, but they don't know what an orgasm is.
Does it always have to be soft and slow?
No, it doesn't, but sometimes it does. So it's a variation. And so the truth is that adults, this is actually from Indiana University, many adults continue to have active pleasurable sex lives past their prime. And they even found that women tend to, you know, orgasm easily as they get older. So the low libido that people talk about have less to do with age and more to do with hormones. So a lot of people have, you know, our hormones fluctuate, or women are taking the birth control pill, and it really does mess with your sex drive. And women don't realize this, because I went on birth control when I was like 18, and I remember not having as much of a sex drive as I did before that, and I didn't know that was the cause of it. And our doctors aren't like, they're like, don't get pregnant, so here's a pill, but you might not have the same sex drive.
And there's so many different kinds, too, that do different things. Some make you fat, some make you moody.
Exactly. I got fat, moody. I got big boobs, though. I mean, my boobs were... I had the biggest boobs on the planet. Like, I almost wish I did.
Biggest on the planet. That's a bold statement.
For me. They grew two sizes. My boyfriend at the time was very happy. And
I got
skinny.
You said that word that you don't like.
What did I say?
You said boyfriend. You had a boyfriend?
Well, I was in college.
Great experimenting with boyfriends.
I didn't know then that I didn't want boyfriends, but he was my first boyfriend. We were dating for 2.5 years, and I actually had a dream about him the other night. I just remembered this. I had a dream that my boyfriend, Mark, from college, we dated from high school to college, went to prom, that he like showed up my dream, and he's like, we should be together. And you know why? Because he freaking lives in Michigan, and my brother sees him all the time, and he's a successful doctor, and he's like, why didn't you marry him?
So your brother said...
Yeah, all the time. He's like, he's so cool. Why didn't you marry him? I'm like...
Are you friends with Mark's wife on Facebook? We should send her this episode.
I am not friends with... But I'm friends with him on Facebook. And I just liked a picture of him and his whole family the other day. So we're all good.
I'm sure that the wife appreciates that.
It's been forever. Except for I did something... Oh, I'm not going to get into it.
What?
I did something really bad at a wedding once.
What'd you do?
Okay. So... Okay. At a wedding once in my 20s, after I broke up with him, we still had mutual friends, and I was at a wedding, and I was drunk, and I was talking to some of his friends. This is like the worst thing. This is how stupid I was in my 20s that I said his friends were trying to egg me on about our sex life, and I'm like, yeah, well, it wasn't that great. Like, I never had an orgasm. Like, I never had an orgasm with him. And I blamed him, just like many women do, for not having an orgasm and not pleasing me. But I didn't know how to have an orgasm with a guy, and so I just thought he was bad in bed, like a lot of women
do. He broke up with you?
No, I broke up with him. I've never been broken up.
You break up with him and you talk shit to his friends at a wedding?
I know, I'm embarrassed. I was drunk. I'm still upset to this day. I can't believe I'm even talking about
it. Well,
you
thought what you said was true, so...
But that's
let
so
that
funny.
Be a lesson to everybody.
But let that be a lesson to everybody that I was ignorant and I didn't have a lot of sexual information then, knowing that, like, women, it's not his fault. It is not his fault if you've explained to him. You know, it's only his fault if you've told him what you need and showed him and he's still, like, banging away at you and not paying attention. Then it's his fault. But it's not his. Like, I thought I was, like, the Rubik's Cube that he needed to figure out the how to make it all the colors on one side, and he didn't do it.
I just peeled the stickers off.
He didn't crack the code. Oh, that's smart. So the thing is, about 1 in 3 women actually do experience low sex drive, according to the American Health Association. And here's how the symptoms, obviously one of them is you have a decreased desire to have sex, you have fewer sexual thoughts and fantasies, a lessened response to sex. And the problem is there's so many things that contribute to it, because it can be personal, like stress. It can be non-medical factors like, you know, low self-esteem. That's another big killer, lack of sleep. Or it could be medical factors like depression, side effects of medication, and also, again, hormones. And that is the biggest thing for women, too, and men, that they have really low self-esteem. They feel in bed, they don't feel sexy. They feel like the guy's looking at the fact that she gained 2 pounds, she doesn't take her clothes off, she wants the lights off, things like that. These are all going to impact her sex drive. And it actually, most women who are experiencing this are just blaming themselves and wondering what's wrong, or they're blaming their husbands, but they're not reporting it. They're not seeking help for it. So I hope that if this is you, and no matter what age you are, and you used to have a higher sex drive, and now you felt a difference, that you should, you know, talk to your doctor about it. People are so weird about talking to the doctor. I do this Twitter chat on Wednesdays, right? So a guy was tweeting me yesterday, and he lives in Australia. I don't know if that's anything to do with it, but he said to me, and I have a lot of Australian listeners, so I don't even know why I said that. But
good eye, mate.
He said to me, I'm 52. And it was about his erection, though. He said, I can't stay.
My questions are going to my pecker.
Exactly.
Was that him?
Yeah, that was him. That was good. He said, I can't stay hard. I can only stay hard, whatever it was. I can't stay hard long enough, as long as I want to. And I said, I can get hard for a blowjob, but not for intercourse. I get soft. And I gave him all these ideas, you know, Twitter back and forth. I said, well, if you talk to your doctor. He said, no, can't talk to my doctor because my friend goes to the same doctor and I don't want my doctor. And I said, wait. You're a 52-year-old man. Your health is important. You're holding facts back from your doctor because you think it's like doctor-patient privilege. He's not going to share this
Australian
information.
Doctors are different. They do a lot of barbecues, have fosters, get
they
talking.
They get drunk and they're like, hey, start mate, talking. Mm-hmm. Your buddy can't get hot during a hot. That's
like
an Boston accent. So people talk to you, and people just don't. And I was out with my friend last night who's a doctor, and he said, yeah. I said, do people ever talk to you? But no. Things like they don't talk about their sex life. And it's like, that's who you're supposed to talk to.
But also, like, nowadays, especially, like, you only get, like, 4 or 5 minutes with your doctor when you make an appointment.
That's true.
And you forget about a lot of stuff.
You do.
I mean, you only talk about the really important stuff at that moment. You're probably not thinking about sex when you're sitting in the doctor's office.
No,
like, I just saw my doctor for the second time ever. I have a broken, like, I broke my back when I was 22. I have tons of metal in there. I have a computer
ouch.
Chip
uh-huh.
that's at the base of my spine that someone forgot to take out. One of the doctors forgot to take out. 2 major surgeries. I'm missing a rib. They had to take a rib out. Like, massive stuff.
Oh, my God.
My doctor has no idea. I forgot to tell her both times.
See? You got to take notes. You got to, like, keep throughout the year when you go back to your doctor and
you
think
should.
About these things.
Keep it on your phone. Like, important things to bring up
yeah,
with doctor.
Yeah, totally. I mean, how many lists do you have? You must have, like, lists of movies and stuff.
I got, like, hundreds of lists on my phone. I probably lose it.
Yeah. So that's important. So also for men, though, let's talk about what causes it, you know, low sex drive for men. We always think that men are ready to go, like Anderson. But not every guy is like that, or they go through periods where they are. The male libido is always in overdrive is what we think. Not true. 1 out of 5 men actually have a low sex drive. So here's another cause of low sex drive in men. So most men, you know, are in the normal age, you know, in the normal age range. Some are extraordinarily driven toward addiction-like sexual behavior. But the other end of the scale are men with low sexual interest. And these men could have hypoactive sexual desire disorder. That could be one thing. And again, this could be psychological issues, stress and anxiety from the strain of daily life, family problems, depression, mental disorders, same thing. They could be on medications. They could have diabetes. They could be taking heart med. I mean, there's all these different things that contribute.
I've been there. Like, I've been really, really depressed. And it's weird. Like, you think about sex and look at sex, and it's just like this weird, odd thing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really even make sense. There's nothing interesting about it.
No. You're like, there's nothing.
And you look at it completely, like, objectively for the first time. Yeah. It's a very strange
feeling.
See,
so you haven't always been raring to go, Anderson.
I've had stretches.
So it's depression, it's anxiety. A lot of times when men are worried about work or financial situations, stress, they don't want to sex.
Their penises
shrink too. Their penises go away. It goes inside, inside them like a turtle.
But like, I've always heard that the more successful you are, like if you get a promotion or a raise or something, your penis actually grows a little bit. I swear to God.
Come on.
It's a real thing. Swear to God, it's a real thing.
What do you mean your penis grows? Like temporarily?
I don't know if it's from testosterone boost or what.
Oh, maybe testosterone, but that would be temporary.
Your penis grows. Your girls are laughing, but it's true.
That could be temporary.
Hey, guys, look it up.
Look it up, you guys. Seriously, we're talking to listeners here. It could also be hormonal. Have you been reading all this stuff about testosterone now? It's like the big thing. It was on the cover of Time magazine. No one reads anymore. I mean, I barely have time to read. All right, but testosterone is like, it was on the cover of Time magazine a few weeks ago. And the whole thing was about this, it's a $1 billion industry that men are taking testosterone supplements and they're rubbing the creams on them. And it's the hormone of desire, arguably, and women are taking it as well. Because low testosterone levels usually mean a low sexual desire. So women and men can take testosterone. Again, you could talk to your daughter about this.
Daughter or doctor? Yeah.
And the levels for men, they dip as they age. So that's why so many guys are into taking hormones now, are taking testosterone, but there's also a lot of side effects. You could also have low dopamine. But the key to it is really, it might seem like this is counterintuitive, and it's kind of like the thing where I always tell people, you know, like getting to the gym is the hardest part, but once you get there, you're going to keep working out. So sometimes if you're feeling like you don't want to have sex, it could be counterintuitive, but if you're really stressed and you're waiting to feel like you're in the mood and you're waiting to feel horny, sometimes it's better just to have a plan to have sex and then stick to it and to go through with it. Because you never have sex and like regret it, do you?
Or at least a little sex with yourself. I mean, give yourself
masturbation.
Hey, speaking of gyms, I was going to actually talk about the gym real quick.
Go.
I recently learned that if you do leg exercises, especially like squats and stuff, raises your testosterone naturally. I've been doing leg exercises for the first time in my life because I have giant, massive, muscular legs. I've never even bothered working them out because they're just big. I don't really even like them. I don't want them bigger. But I gave it a shot. It could all be, what do you call it?
Psychological?
Psychosomatic.
Psychosomatic, yeah.
But I feel like maybe the wife's dealing with me a little bit more often.
Wow. So she's happy with that or no?
She's
a little too
lady.
Much. She's like, stop
she's
going to the gym. Nope, that's interesting. Never heard that before. But
it's free,
is true. If you're
safe, easy.
But also it could be just that you always work out.
But I always work out, but I used to just do like, you know, like the core and the arms and the chest. But I heard that you have to do the legs if you're going to make any good progress. So now every third day I do legs, and I do feel a difference all around.
That's so interesting. I haven't heard that, but that would totally make sense.
And I'm getting older now, too. I'm over 40 now, so I got to, you know,
take you are? Finally. Yeah. Did you just have a birthday?
No, I was wild.
Okay. And so also the thing about this is the kind of like duty sex. Women or men can think, duty sex, not duty like a duty. In the bathroom, like D-U-T-Y.
Oh, D-U-T-Y.
Like it's a duty. Oh, we have to have sex. And people always say, I don't want to plan. And planning sex is so lame. But the truth is, if you're not having sex, this way you know. Like let's say you say Saturday night is date night. And we're going to have sex this Saturday. And then you know that all week long, you don't have to think, oh, he's going to come home and try to sex or she's going to jump. But then you just know every Saturday we're doing it. And so if you kind of have this ritual of knowing that it's going to happen, it'll get you into the mood of having sex, even if you don't. Like, if you're waiting to feel it, you might never have it. But if you know you're going to have it or you plan it, once you start doing it.
I thought I've heard you say you're against appointment sex.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
All against appointment. No, in fact, in theory, if I didn't know more about it, I would be. But since I've been doing this and I've talked to a lot of couples, and I actually had a guy say to me once that, you know, I was a married man. He said, I was so against it. It seemed so cheesy, cliche. Like, oh, I'm going to open my calendar. It's going to be like, go to the gym, pick up dry cleaning, fuck your wife, you know? And he said, but the truth is, it takes the pressure off. I'm not trying. She's not. We know what's happening on Saturday. And maybe it happens more. But you know that's your night. So if it works for people, I'm not going to say no.
You know what? I've noticed that if you do have sex, you know, I'm still a newlywed. So it's not like I have that much experience. But I've been with the same girl for a long, long time. And I noticed that, you know, if sex happens before you guys like go out, it's usually a better time. Especially the lady seems to be much more attracted and happy and confident and comfortable.
I think that's true because she had an orgasm. She had a release.
Well, I don't bother with that. But, I mean, you know, just the...
You don't bother with the orgasm?
No. Nah.
The guard is talking to me.
Oh, takes a lot of work.
Oh.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Because the guard sucks.
No, he's like knocking on the door talking to me.
He doesn't understand how things work.
So he said to me, what was I saying? What were you saying? Oh, yeah, it's true. I actually have had orgasms. And I was actually seeing a guy, and we hadn't seen each other a long time. And the last thing that I wanted was to have sex with him. Like, I was kind of over him. And then we had sex, and I was like, had the orgasm. Because I, even myself, with all my sex toys and all my sex talk, I've been stressed at times and not masturbated, not had sex for, you know, maybe a month or something, which is probably the longest I've ever gone. And the second I did have sex with this guy, I was like, woo, I'm really into it. So
I've heard just recently, like Dr. Drew was talking about, and it sounded like witchcraft or magic, but he was saying like the sweat like combines and creates this, almost like this potion and like pheromones, and sometimes it really does connect, create this like actual chemistry bond, like a chemical bond between the two people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely. Insane.
That's crazy.
What, the sweat off your bodies and the pheromones? It's
the
true.
Sweat, and then it mixes up like some kind of like witch's potion?
Yeah, pheromones are a real deal. It's true. So I think you should bang your wife more when you go out. You'll have a good time. Right before you go out.
Yeah, right before you go out.
Yeah, right before you go out.
If you can, you do it when you come back.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was kidding. Of course, you know, you make everything happen for her. And then you take care of yourself. Took me 20 years to learn that, but that's what you do.
Did she teach you that?
No, she doesn't teach me anything. She's a quiet girl. You know what's funny? As I've heard the word hormone all my life, I've never broken it down where it's like hormone until just tonight on your show right now.
But it has nothing to do with hormones.
I know,
but you're right. Me neither. We could do something fun with that.
Hormones.
Yeah, I wish it had
never
something. Me neither. I've never even thought about it that way, but it's not really applicable, but I think it's funny. Okay, we should get in some emails, but first I'm going to give a shout out to some of our sponsors here because we love them. I've got to tell you a little bit about, you know, we're talking about sex drive tonight, and so I'm going to talk to you about my spicing things up. No better way to do it than with a Emily and Tony massage candle. Right, Anderson? Okay, so a huge part of sexual arousal stems from desire. Because women, they don't want to feel like they're like your sex object. They want to feel romance. And that's where my Emily and Tony massage candles come in. People are like, what the hell is a massage candle? Well, they're actually these beautiful aromatherapy candles that smell amazing. And so they get you, they're like sexy scents. They get you turned on. And it looks like a regular candle. So it's not even like every time you light it, you have to use it for a massage. However, when you do light it, it burns cooler. It's not even wax. It's vegan. It burns into coconut oil, soybean oil. It's made out of all these natural ingredients. And it sets the mood. And then you say to your partner, hey, babe, I know you've had a stressful day. Why don't I give you a massage? You blow it out and you pour it on your partner's body. And it's, you know, you've used it.
It's a genius idea. I can't believe that these things haven't been around since like the 20s.
Exactly. So I love that I meant it. And people freak out. I mean, people have emailed me. They said, here's an email I just got from a listener. My girlfriend was skeptical at first, but agreed to try the warm. He said he bought the candle. He said, she agreed to try the warm oil on me first, gave me a back rub. Then I reciprocated and we had amazing sex. She cannot stop talking about how good the candle smells and how great the massage oil feels. I am convinced that the scent and the candle helped us through some of the barriers to sex we have faced lately. So there you go. I've created these candles so you can have the best sex of your life. Go to emilyandtony.com. Use coupon code Emily for 20% off. That's emilyandtony.com.
You know, it'd be a perfect product if you could somehow turn it into a birth control as well. You know what I mean? You massage, yeah. You bang, no baby, done.
Exactly. That would be great. But you can't put it inside you. I want to do a lube cam. I shouldn't give my idea away. But yeah, I want to do a lube cam. Okay, so I do that all the time.
A lube cam?
What? Candle. A lube candle.
Okay.
Because guys can masturbate with the candle.
What
but women can't insert it. So you could masturbate with the candle.
What happens
if
the old candle liquid goes in the old
You know, there? It's actually fine because it's all natural ingredients. It's vegan.
Vegan, yeah.
Except for the beeswax part, so it doesn't really make it vegan. But the point is, all of our products are, is that it's just a little bit of the scent that we use. It could affect a woman's pH balance, and you're not supposed to put anything with a scent inside of a woman's vagina.
That makes sense. Yeah. And you put a little scent in there. I'm sure the guy's been trying to beat off with candle wax for centuries.
I know, and it freaking hurts.
I bet it was probably awful for centuries.
But the thing, you know, the candles are like moisturizing, they feel good. So, all that stuff. So, check it. Okay, so let's get into some emails. We've got a little some time here. All right. This is about sex after baby. Hello, Emily. I've been so bothered by mine and my partner's sex life, or lack thereof, in the last 6 months. I gave birth to our first child in March, and he has not had the urge to touch me since. Sex has happened maybe a handful of times, all initiated by me. He says nothing's wrong, and he's still attracted to me, For me, I just can't see how you don't want sex with the person you're supposed to love and be attracted to. I don't know what to do anymore. My self-esteem and confidence have flown out the window, and in spite of me telling him how I feel, nothing has changed. What's going on here? This cannot be normal. Thanks for your help, Nicole. So the deal is, this is interesting because I often hear from men who say their wives don't want to have sex after childbirth, right? We hear this all the time on Loveline. But this isn't really as unusual as you might think. It could be, you know, a lot of guys, they observe their partners giving birth to a baby, and it could change the way they think about the baby. Some feel more connected to it, and some might feel traumatized, which is still why bringing the guy into the, you know, you see Mad Men,
I don't
right?
want to ever see that. I never right? want to see
that. I wouldn't, if I had a baby, I would want my guy to be like, you know, outside smoking a cigar.
It's going to be the 50s again when my wife
I know. Birth. I just think that could happen sometimes. But also, the bottom line is, I don't know what his deal is. That might not even be it. Nicole, maybe he's more stressed about work, or he's stressed about the baby crying, and he's, I don't know what. But you have got to be honest with him about your feelings. And if you tell him, you know, that everything's fine, nothing's changed, we'll be okay, then he's going to think it's okay. But you have to be really upfront about your needs and tell him that, that they're not being met. And, you know, you have to remind him that you are a sexual being on top of being the mother of his child. And, you know, maybe you could try, I don't know, like if he's just not, I'm trying to see what you said, if you're initiating it. It's all initiated by you. He's still attracted to me. He's not initiating it. So I feel, and her self-esteem, which, you know, her body's probably not back to normal, but I love that she's, you know, at least she's wanting to have sex. So you've got to do things. This is the kind of thing where it's great to start now, because the more that you don't talk to him about this, the worse it's going to get. They always say sex is not a problem in a relationship until it's a problem, and then it takes over the entire relationship. It is a problem. So, you know, you have to remind, you know, I'm a sexual being. I'm not just a mother. Maybe you guys, you might need a night away. And here's the thing. I know your kid's only a few months old. And this is another thing for couples that all the time couples are like, oh, I have a 6-year-old. I have an 8-year-old. We don't have sex. I'm like, have you guys ever had a night away together? No, we never have. Have you ever had a vacation without your kids? No.
Especially nowadays, because people are so fucking paranoid.
I know.
And they don't trust anybody.
They don't trust anybody.
Kid.
And it's all about the kids. My parents left us all the time.
I was with strangers all the time.
All the time.
Probably diddled. I turned out okay.
Were you diddled?
I think I might have been.
Come on. Were you sexually?
No, I don't know. We're not talking about it all day.
Sexual trauma?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Oh, that explains everything.
Need, how dare you? People need to leave their kids with strangers every now and again.
Exactly.
Trust
no, they do. They do. And I think that it's just changed the way kids are so coddled these days. And it's all about like the kids and not about the relationship. And the truth is that kids watch their parents. If their parents, they don't see their parents be affectionate and loving, that's going to impact the kids. So parents think that it's selfish if they take time for themselves. And the kids.
That's a really good point. You got to invest.
What if we miss their first step? What if something happens? Like, they're going to be fine. Okay. My mom, like, practically tied the, you know, the baby bottle to the crib and, like, went out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
both parents are angrily watching the first step. Angrily.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, we could be somewhere else. So all I'm going to say is you guys have to build some communication around this. And also another thing, Nicole, I don't know how it was before your marriage. I mean, it's been 6 months, and so I just got to say that it's only happened a handful of times. And so maybe, yeah, I think you guys got to get out of your place. Maybe you got to change after work. Again, this might sound cliche, but put on some laundry, take a bath, like do something different, like make a dinner, get a babysitter to come over, or leave that, you know, or take the kid to your mom's if she lives nearby. Just do something, set the mood, but talk to him about it and tell him that. And again, just like we started the show off saying, like, you don't want to demand it. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to say, I need this from you. Because the second you tell him, like, I need you to start, da, 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 he's not going to hear you, right? When you demand sex. But there's a way to do it, to say, like, this is how it makes me feel. I initiate a lot. And I would love, it would feel so good to me if you came home one day and just started kissing my neck or making out with me or whatever. But not, like, in a mean, angry way. You're not mean, angry, but you bring it up casually. Don't you think that's much more effective than being angry?
Yeah, you got to let your person know that it really is affecting you. And if they actually do care and love you, they're going to see that, and they're going to actually make a concerted effort to fix it.
Exactly.
Before we move on, I've had two separate friends who had the identical issues with their wives after they had the baby. And it was really weird. They both talked to me, probably because I work on Loveline, and
right.
They feel like I can confide. Sometimes too much. Like, I don't need to hear about your sex life, but I heard all about it. Both these guys and their wives were freaks before the baby. Like, really, like, fucked up sex.
Right.
Like, when I say that in the best possible sense.
Right, like kinky, crazy
stuff. A lot of
stuff.
Kinky shit, yeah.
Right.
And then when she gave birth, all of a sudden she became, like, mommy. She became, like, oh, my God, that's my child's mom. And, like, this whole new like respect.
It's the Madonna whore thing.
And like they didn't want to like do anything that they used to be into. But unfortunately, that was the only way that they knew how to have sex. So they couldn't even have normal sex. And he didn't want to. Neither one of them wanted to like do the like the kinky stuff right. with mommy.
But they both didn't want to.
Yeah, they got over it and they got back to everything. But it that just took time. And I don't even know how they did. I mean, I have no idea how they did, but they were freaked out about it.
I think that it shifts. I think that it's funny because, again, my friend last night, I was out, he said to me, you know, what about the whole Madonna? Oh, he got married and he said, what about the whole Madonna whore thing? He's one of these guys. He's like, you know, he was married and he's divorced. He's like, I just can't imagine. He's like, I kind of, she became the mother of my children and I just wasn't really, I couldn't see my wife wanting to do all these crazy kinky things. And I think that's really sad because I would have to be with someone who still valued me as a mom, could see me as a sexual being and then also the mother. But I think some guys just can't separate that. Was that the issue with your friends? Was that to both of them?
Yeah, both of them, exactly.
So I think that, again, you guys, you know, yeah, I think that this is us, they just needed some dialogue around it. So, you know, it can't, I don't know how you change that. Like, you're wired, but you got to, like, work on it. And
you
got
to show them, like, remind them what you were before the baby.
Exactly.
And that's when you go back to the cliche with, like, night out or lingerie.
Or get a blindfold, get a sex toy.
Remind them of who you are, because now you're, like, two different people almost
exactly.
in their head. Your girlfriend, wife, and then now mommy to my right. child, which is kind of freaky.
Exactly. So get some candles, get some Emily and Tony massage candles, set the atmosphere. He comes home, you're wearing lingerie, you're wearing heels. You give him a massage, you warm him up, and you do your kinky crazy stuff.
I can't imagine that. Just having a kid, just like seeing the boobs, and all of a sudden it's like a food source for like the thing that I love the most. And now I want to, I don't want to like do
share
bad
them.
Things to those.
Well, I get
anymore.
It. See, it'd be
they
hard.
They must be pristine.
You're not going to have kids, are you?
For the baby. We're thinking about it.
Are you?
Thinking about adopting or having. We've never tried, so we might.
Really? Okay. That'd
we're
be cute.
Busy people. Busy people.
But you've Stanley.
Stanley's a dog, and he's going to die.
I know. Okay. Okay, hello, Emily. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years. The first year was filled with wonderful sex, anywhere and anytime. It didn't matter. About a year ago, I started some new medication, which really stopped my appetite for sex. Now, a year later, my appetite is finally back, but I feel like my boyfriend's is gone. It almost feels like if I'm not in thigh highs and a plaid skirt, he doesn't want me. I've tried to plan sex, slowly lead him into it, and walk around naked to get him turned on, but nothing. I even tried to get him to go out and buy a new toy with me, and he just didn't seem interested. I love dressing up, but sometimes I just want to be taken care of. We used to be so kinky, this is exactly what we're talking about, but it used to be so dominant. But now all the lust has gone away. I don't know what to do. Please help, Lindsay C. Okay, so first of all, I'm really glad that you got your sex drive back and you've taken control of the situation because a lot of time women go on meds and they don't realize what it is. You mentioned that you've done all these things like to try to get him out of the shell, but have you actually talked to him about it? Have you actually said, hey, what's going, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, what's going on with you? Why aren't you wanting to have sex anymore? Do I really need to be wearing the plaids? Because this is like the opposite situation that she feels like she's got to pull out all the bells and whistles or he won't have sex with her. And now, after 2.5 years, I understand that the sex life, you know, might take a little more work, but maybe you guys can get into something new together. So watch some porn together, go, you know, read erotica, sex toy shopping. I mean, you've got to communicate your needs to him, let him know that you've been there with not wanting sex because you've overcome this. And if he's unwilling to communicate, I always say, you know, counseling. I believe that every couple needs counseling.
Nah, 2.5 years, are there kids?
Not yet.
But it's time for them to move on. Maybe it's just the end of the relationship.
Maybe it's the end of the relationship.
Ran its course.
Yeah, that's true. 2.5 years, first year, wonderful sex, doesn't matter. Okay, medication, here's the thing. Yeah, I guess not. I guess, you know what, if you talk to him about this and it doesn't change, this is my problem. This is what I got to tell everyone, is that you guys got to set time limits on this stuff because these are the kind of problems that could go on for years and years. And like 2 years from now, you could be like looking back and going, yeah, this has been going on for 2 years. Do you really want to waste 2 years of your life waiting for him to start banging you again just the way you liked it and having sex? No, you don't. So what you need to do right now, Lindsay, is put a note in your calendar, whatever today's date is, and then 3 months from now, call it D-Day, whatever, and then say, in these next 3 months, this is what I want to happen with our sex life. This could be your own personal thing. Like, write down what the picture of your perfect sex life would be to you. And then do everything you can in your power to make sure that you get that by communicating with him, by doing whatever the hell it is. And if it doesn't change at the time and you believe that you've done everything you can and he's tried and you've tried, it might be time to end the relationship.
Call breakup because, day. Have a big star.
Yeah. Try it, and then, no, I did this.
I love the idea of him coming over to your house, though, and seeing, like, it says breakup day on the 21st.
Well, don't
Honey,
say that.
What's this breakup day all about?
No, I would just leave it on your own personal calendar. But no, actually, the same friend that I started out with talking about in the show is that I was dating this guy years ago, and I, probably
Mark.
10 years ago.
His name was Mark.
Not Mark. No, that was long ago. That was even longer ago. Longer ago. Many more years ago.
It was when you were in high school. It was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. 5 years ago. So this was actually 7 years ago when I was in my 20s. And I was dating for 2.5 years, and I complained a lot about him. And she finally said to me, you know what? I'm sick and tired. Okay. Well, she loves me, but in a loving way. You've been saying this for a long time now. Let me just be honest with you, Emily. And so we set a date on the calendar, and it was like December 15th. And so in my mind, I got into this, like, I have a deadline. And we were together a long time. He wanted to move in. I'm like, so we went to therapy, which was, you know, I've always been pro-therapy. Like, I've been in therapy since my parents, like, threw me into therapy, like, when I was, like, the day I was born, I swear to God. So we went to therapy, and it was great because we worked out all these things, and I was able to say things to him in therapy and that I wanted to work on, and we really tried. And so I made this effort. And the day came and I dumped him because things didn't really change. And I had this date, and I knew it could have gone on for another freaking 10 years. I could be married to him now. I'm miserable. So all I'm saying is he will pay attention to these problems right when you hear this and start working on it.
This is a sobering thought, but have they done a study on how many, like, the percentage of couples that are actually happy, married or unmarried? I mean, I would, if I had to guess, I would say the majority of people that are together right now are not happy and should maybe move on.
I mean, I don't want... Yeah, it's so hard to measure. I would say that 50% of marriages end in divorce.
But even before marriage, it's like this girl, like, complacency is so easy to just settle in.
Exactly. I know. It is so easy to
settle in. I probably spent 8 years in the wrong relationships, like, collectively.
Yeah, oh, me too. We all
and
do.
I could have had sex with so many other girls if I didn't waste my time for those 8 years.
That's why I don't commit now unless I'm 100% sure. And it's been a really long time since I've committed because I'm so tired of wasting time because we all commit. What happens is... You're having the best sex. Of course, sex is amazing. Like, I could have amazing sex with this freaking microphone for the next 9 months. Yeah, I probably could.
Really?
I mean, we would have a great time together. I'd take him out. It's very phallic-shaped. I love it. Oh, my God. Make out. Blowjobs. The whole thing.
It'd be a good show. You should do that for one episode.
I should. Probably. And then after 9 months, I'd be like, not so much. But maybe we'll go back to that time when things were so romantic and passionate. But people start having sex, and they don't think there's any problems in the world. And then the sex dies, and then they're scrambling. Then they start to look at each other, and they're like, oh, can we get back to that? And so that's why you need to constantly be, like, taking a look at your relationship. Start talking about the sex, like, early on. Like, are you getting your needs met or whatever? And, like, just don't waste your life, especially in your 20s. Like,
you don't need, like, an opposite sex roommate, you know?
No.
Who you used to bang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do not need a roommate that you used to bang. Then you got to kick out, and you got to split everything up. It's a pain in the ass. Don't rush into it.
Go out and get some strange.
Get some strange. Yeah. Wait till you're 30 to get married at that. And then you know yourself better anyway. Do we have time for one more? Should we wrap it up?
Let's do it. One more.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to find a good one here. Not that there aren't all good, but here we go. This is from a guy. Here we go.
No. From a dude.
It's from a dude. Okay. Emily, I'm a 23-year-old boy. Crazy. Wait, I don't get this because it's signed. Okay, got it. Sorry. Emily, I'm a 23-year-old boy crazy. It's from a woman. I'm a 23-year-old boy crazy and a sexual female. I've always been strictly dickly, but I have a little secret. I've always been more interested in lesbian porn rather than straight. I've been in a relationship for over three years now, and I feel like I'm hiding something from my man as he has no idea when I masturbate or watch porn. But this is my preference. Although I'm sure vagina is definitely not for me, is this abnormal? Furthermore, am I keeping a secret that could be destructive? Can't wait to hear from you. Thank you, Donna. Donna, you are totally in the norm here. I'm telling you, many women masturbate to lesbian porn and get them turned on. I'd say even more so than not, that's what they prefer. And the thing about female sex is, I mean, I doubt that your straight boyfriend is masturbating to homosexual porn, but female sexuality is so fluid. Like if you look at the Kinsey spectrum, you know, women are just more fluid and open about their sexuality, and they experience more arousal from a much wider range of stimuli than men do, right? So you're not concerned about heterosexual porn, but women do. And so you're, a lot of women are just as aroused by watching females, you know, as they are watching men. So the fact that your boyfriend doesn't know, first of all, there's nothing wrong with you masturbating to porn, and I don't think you should be ashamed or embarrassed at all. I mean, and I'm wondering what you're worried about. Are you afraid that he's going to judge you and he's going to think this is bad? In fact, he's probably going to think it's really hot and want to watch, I would think, right? Or, you know, I don't think that he would be upset. I think you'd be very surprised that the fact that you masturbate and the fact that you're a sexual being and you're taking care of yourself, he would probably find it really hot. And mutual masturbation is one of my favorite tips for couples, because you guys can watch porn together. You can masturbate. He can watch how you get off. You watch how he gets off. And it's like fun for the whole family. So I say, what? Don't – fun for both of you. I'm just, you know, the saying.
Fun I for think the nuclear that, family, minus children.
The two of you. But I really think that you guys could watch it together. And it's funny that there is all this, you know, shame that a lot of women have, and men, around sex and around their desires and their fantasies. And just because – let me tell you something. While you're also – it's very common, Donna. It's common that you would masturbate to something that you absolutely have no interest in trying, that you want to go nowhere near a female vagina. That is a female vagina. As opposed to a male vagina. You want to go near a vagina. Totally normal that what turns you on isn't necessarily something that you want to engage in. So I think it's really common and good for you for masturbating and finding what makes you all hot and bothered. I love it. So that's what we have time for today, Anderson.
I liked it. It was a fantastic show. I enjoyed that one.
It's because of you.
A lot.
Really? How come?
I don't know. I feel like you were very concise, and we got to like three things and just stuck with them, and you got some good stuff.
I'm not usually so linear.
You're pretty linear right now. What's going on? You drinking tea?
No, and I'm so freaking tired. I only had 3 hours of sleep, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be as linear tonight. So
don't get me wrong. One of the reasons why I love you so much is because you're all over the place, and I think it really works, especially in today's day and age with like all the things going on, and everyone's on their Twitter and on stop and Facebook. I think that these kinds of shows and people like you and I who are scatterbrained are really good. I think that people actually tune into that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's nice every now and again to be linear as well.
Yeah, I try. Well, I didn't even try. So that's funny because I had 4 hours of sleep. Anyway, okay, so Anderson, and what's going on with your podcast this week?
Film Vault, and I don't even remember what we did. What did we do?
I don't know. Everyone should just...
It was good episode. The top 5 bullies in film history. It was a pretty good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone should check it out. Thank you, Anderson, and thanks everyone for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Listening to the show, and I know you got some good tips about keeping your sex life alive. Well, here's another one. You got to buy the Fleshlight. It is the number one sex toy for men. And there's a reason why, because it actually feels like you're having sex. It's a male masturbation sleeve. You know, women, we've got hundreds of different toys to choose from. And men, they've got the Fleshlight. But let me tell you, every guy I've ever given a Fleshlight to freaks out. It's amazing. It's a different feeling than your hand. Guys are like, why do I need it? I got my hand. Guess what? It just feels really good. I'm not saying you have to use it every single time, but it looks and feels like the real deal. Also, if you want to last longer in bed, please your partner more, please yourself more, so you're not so worried about having an orgasm ahead of time. Fleshlight stamina training unit helps you practice lasting longer, becoming a better lover, and you'll have some of the most mind-blowing orgasms of your life. So check it out. Go to sexwithemily.com/fleshlight. That's sexwithemily.com/fleshlight.